Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
O God, you are my God, whom I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth parched, lifeless, and without water.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is greater than life. My lips shall glorify you.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
Thus will I bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned to him and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Deacon Brian. I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to discuss the readings as we always do. Mm-hmm. And Dawn, I know you had some thoughts beforehand. Actually, Dawn really liked the first two readings because she fought with me over who got to read the first readings. Although I maintain it was because they were short.
I love that Jeremiah reading about, I decided that I'm not going to say anything more, but then God's word and just his being inside burns in my heart and I can't keep my mouth closed any longer. And so I just love that reading. There's somebody I know that fits that perfectly. I mean, sometimes I can feel that, but there's a person I know that's just... I call him the man on fire because his heart burns so much within him, he can't keep it inside. So it's really, neat thing. So anyhow, but that wasn't my first point. Although, okay. And it wasn't because they were short. Although that's not a bad thing. I was thinking a lot today about Peter, because about a month ago we have him walking on water and he's afraid and he sinks, obviously, and then he begins to do homage to Jesus. And then last week we have Jesus telling him that he's being a rock of faith. And then this week we have Jesus calling him Satan. And so what I liked about that is because I know in my own life I fall into all those categories, but yet God remains steadfast and cares for me no matter where in life I am.
Yep. And one of the things too, Dawn, that I think is important to notice, you mentioned the sequence between weeks, but also these passages
right.
are sequential in the Bible too.
Right.
So it's not just the way we've set them up as the church that make him go from, you know, one extreme to the other, but the gospel itself shows that. Right before this was the line, "You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." And then, you know, a verse later, it's, you know, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me." So either Jesus doesn't know what he's doing or something else is going on here. And usually we go with the assumption Jesus does know what he's doing. So, but it is true. It's, you know, Jesus tells Peter that you're thinking as human beings do and not as God does. And I think that's something that we do so often. A lot of times we want to make God like us rather than ourselves like God. And it's very difficult to think as God does. I mean, ultimately, I guess we have to say we only can know how God thinks based on what he has revealed to us. It's not like we can claim to have God's thoughts, but God has revealed some of his thought to us. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can say we understand what it is to think like God versus human beings. And for us, we kind of live in this world where in our mind, we'd like to have everything nice and perfect and just. And if somebody does something, they should be punished for it,
right.
And
yeah.
all kinds of things like that. And somebody who's good and a wonderful person shouldn't have bad things happen to them. And yet Jesus says, well, you're thinking as kind of a human being and not as God. What we have to trust is we don't understand necessarily God's thought. We don't understand why there's suffering in the world. We don't understand why somebody who is like Jesus or some nice person has to die or suffer or any of that kind of thing. But we trust that God knows more than we know. And God has said that on several occasions. One of my favorite psalms is the one where that says, you know, or I don't know if it's a psalm or a canticle now that I'm thinking of this, but he says, you know, "Where were you when I created the world?"
Oh, and it's from Job, yeah.
Well, Job has the line in it, but there's also a psalm
that
has it as well. Job, he actually does. He says, "Yes, good thing I didn't check with, or I forgot to check with you. I'm sorry. Before I created the world, oh, yeah, where were you?" But he also says, you know, "I've known you," or he kind of says, you know, "What can you give to me that isn't mine already?"
Oh,
is what
right.
God
yes,
says in
I
the Psalms. And it is. It's one of those things where we say, you know, God has all the wisdom. And he says, you know, "Wisdom was with me from the beginning." And he has vision that we obviously don't have because we're limited and finite in our existence, where God is infinite and can see kind of the whole big picture all at once, where we just kind of see a little speck of it. But, I mean, at the same time, it doesn't necessarily make it easier for us either. Going back to your first reading, one of the things that I love, it's a very human reading. You've got Jeremiah here. He's been faithful. He's been going out. God's been having him send his word out to the people, calling for repentance, all this kind of stuff. And nothing happens. And Jeremiah's response is, "You've duped me, O Lord. I feel like I've been duped by you because nothing good is coming out of this." And I think that a lot of times as Christians, we have this feeling of, "I've been working so hard for something," or "I've been trying to be good, and it seems like all the bad people are the ones who get rewarded and are getting ahead."
Oh, yes.
And nothing good is happening out of all of this. I take it you've experienced that, Dawn.
Have you been like, reading my mind lately?
It's like the definition of youth ministry at times, I think. And the only thing we can do is trust that there is some bigger picture, that God sees something that we don't see, because it can be very frustrating. And I speak, you know, for myself too in ministry, and Don, I mean, you've mentioned it, mm-hmm. but I think not even for people in ministry, but even for people who just try to live a good moral life.
Yeah.
A lot of times you find the people who get ahead are the ones who cheat, who steal, who are unethical, all those kinds of things.
One of my friends in high school, he used to always say, life would be a lot easier if I didn't have any morals.
Yeah. And in some respects, at times, you know, it is a lot of times. A lot of times the people who seem to get ahead are not the ones who are ethical or the ones who live according to God's will. Right. And the Psalms, again, are full of this kind of thing, saying, you know, when are you going to come? When is your justice going to come? And usually most of them sit here and do say, well, we do trust at the end that you will make things right, that the humble will be raised up and that the rich will be cast down from their thrones. It's the Canticle of Mary there, but it's also repeated in all the Psalms and in various ways. So I think that that is something that we need to look at too, because I think as Christians, it is very hard. And so I like these readings because they remind us, you know, it's okay every once in a while to get vent or to vent that or something like that, because that is what we go through. That is our experience. It's not that Jesus came and said, you know, follow me and this will be real easy. He says right here, he says, you know, you have whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He doesn't say, you know, sit and relax in a beach with a martini or margarita or something in one hand.
You know, that's sort of interesting in this gospel passage because, you know, Jesus tells them that he's going to suffer. And Peter's like, oh, no. You got all the power. You know, it'll be fine. And that's when Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And so it's sort of that's the human response, like you were saying. But the whole thing, if we connect it to the second reading about being transformed, transforming your mind, it's you got to take up that cross. You have to not embrace your suffering. I don't know how to put that in right language, but it's the journey from the cross. We all have that, and in various forms. And I wonder, do you have any official what the church teaches about suffering or anything like that that you can share with us?
Well, I mean, ultimately, what the church teaches many things about suffering. There's been, actually, I won't say there's no document or official documents, but there's no definitive, you know, this is the what suffering means, boom, and here is mm-hmm. what it is. But John Paul II wrote an encyclical on the value of suffering and redemptive value of suffering. And you often hear that. And a lot of times you hear it and it's just kind of this fluffy word like, oh, you know, offer up your sufferings for God or for offer them up with Christ or something like that. But the idea behind that is that we are called to take up our cross. And ultimately, what we're called to remember is that our home and our ultimate goal isn't anything here on this earth. And that's why we suffer a lot of times, is because it's when we look at things from our earthly perspective. But our sufferings can be redemptive in many different ways. And it's not to say that suffering, that we should go out and seek suffering or anything like that, or we should just kind of placate somebody or just kind of offer this platitude of, oh, you know, you're suffering, just offer it up for God and deny that somebody actually really is suffering, because suffering does hurt. But it can be united to the suffering of Christ, and it can be redemptive in that sense, just as the suffering that Jesus experienced on the cross and through his death is what brought about new life. Our witness and how we handle our sufferings, is it, how do I respond to suffering, can be a real witness of the presence of Christ. It can be a real witness that it's not this physical world that has ultimate value. Mm-hmm. So if you're, for example, somebody who's being persecuted, rather than giving in to the powers that are persecuting them, but instead standing firm in their values or their beliefs or something like that, would be a way of showing that there is something beyond this. And even if you're going to make my life here difficult, I'm willing to go through that because I believe there's something more, there's something greater, there's something more important going on. In other cases, you could have somebody, it's a different situation. Say somebody who's in the hospital with a severe illness, say someone, you know, somebody who's got cancer or something like that. You sit here and say, well, how do they make that redemptive? Because they didn't choose to get cancer. You know, they don't do something to try to get cancer. So it's not really like embracing something. Nobody's inflicting it upon them. It's just kind of one of these things that happens and you have to deal with that. And it's not to say it's not suffering, because it really is. But I think it's how you can handle that. Can you take that suffering and maybe find yourself in unity with people who do experience injustice in this world in other ways? Can you take that suffering and find a way to bring yourself closer to God through prayer, and not necessarily just for the prayer for the miracle that, you know, my cancer goes away or something like that, but which isn't necessarily a bad thing either. Right. I mean, we do pray for those types of things, but it's, can my suffering somehow remind me of the suffering that Christ went through? Does it somehow humble me in some way to be able to ask somebody, I need your help through this, be it through prayers, through helping me with physical needs because I can't do things that I used to do? All of that, can I do that with the sense of humility and reaching out to others in love? And I think that's really the key is with suffering. Ultimately, we say, you know, that the reason that we have suffering here is, well, it came originally through sin into the world, and but ultimately is, it's a reminder that we're not in heaven. This world is not heaven. It's not the eternal paradise. And suffering does remind us of that, for better or for worse. But ultimately, what we do believe is there will come a time when we do reach that beatific vision, when we're in the presence of God, and there is no suffering anymore. And that's what we should be looking forward to. If we had no suffering here, I think it would be hard for us to really understand, well, what's the difference between earth and heaven?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I was just thinking about your last point. It is through suffering a lot of times that we grow spiritually, and so that's not another good thing.
Right.
That's another ramification. I mean, how would you learn if you don't go through the valley, you know, all
right.
of that stuff?
Right. Well, and it's true, with anything in life, not right. even just your spiritual life. You know, a lot of times I see this so often. I've talked to you about it too. We see where we see the kids in the youth group or something doing things. And I said, and it drives me crazy, and I know it does you at times. But then I said, as I think about it, I said, yeah, I did that same. I was just as stupid when I was their age or foolish or whatever. And sometimes you have to learn things for yeah. your own. Same thing with, you know, a parent who's watching their child try to walk. The child's going to fall occasionally. And they have to allow that to happen because, you know, it's not that you want to see the child fall or anything, but that's part of the learning process on how to walk or how to do anything in life involves, you know, sometimes you make mistakes and that involves some kind of suffering, but you can learn from mistakes as well.
Yes. If you're open enough to learn from them, that's another key part of
yep.
it.
So. Yeah. And sometimes that comes with time, age, and experience right. and all of that kind of thing. You know, in the second reading too, though, I do like what you pointed out there too, this whole idea of transforming ourselves and not conforming ourselves to this age. And I think that does parallel that, you know, you think as people do and not as God does.
Right.
I think that that's really a challenge for us. And ultimately, that's where I think we suffer and fall. A lot of times, I think our sufferings are brought on because we don't think as God thinks, or we're incapable of thinking as God thinks. One of those two or some combination of it, where we want to try to resist God and do everything ourselves or not ask God for help. Take that kind of, I can do it, you know, motion. I don't need it. Let me do it. Rather than taking that humble position of saying, no, I do need you to help me with this. And at times there are times I think when we all do both, when we take right. time to say, I do need your help with this, Lord. And at other times where we're kind of stubborn in our own ways and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I can do this.
It usually happens the opposite for me. First I start with, I can do it. And then I end up with, I really need your help, God.
Right. And I think that's how it is for most people. And a lot of times, you know, when we do too take that, you know, I can do it, or, you know, even when we take that where we are doing it and then we see that we're not getting the results we expected or wanted, it gets frustrating. But Jesus, like I said, never said, come and join me on the beach and we'll sip margaritas and have a great old time listening and dancing to music. He says, come, take up your cross, meaning that this is not going to be something that's easy if you're going to follow me. And I think ultimately we know that if we truly do follow Jesus, it's going to lead us to where Jesus was led, which was to heaven, but it was to heaven by way of the cross. Right. So, and that's really the important thing, is to understand that we can't let the fact that we're experiencing a cross make us feel like there's no God or lose hope or that sort of thing. We have to say, I'm experiencing this cross. It's not pleasant. We can even cry out the same prayer Christ, you know, yells on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? But at the same time, trusting that that abandonment or that sense of abandonment that we feel, whether it's true or not, is something that will be alleviated at some point. And I can see that we're well over time, Dylan, as I look at our time on this podcast. So we'll wrap things up here. And hopefully people will not experience too much suffering, but also not give up hope when they do. And hopefully this podcast hasn't been too much suffering for anyone, and they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.